One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, this is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWCR. We are glad to have you in here tonight to join us. We got a great one for you. We're going to teach on the Trinity. You know, most of Christendom believe in the Trinity. I'm going to give you 27 reasons why that Christendom, beginning with the Catholic Church, that's the universal church, by the way, and all the Protestants adopted this concept of belief. 27 reasons that people believe in a Trinity. Number one, we have what is called the Catholic faith. Is this: we worship the one God as a Trinity, and the Trinity as a unity. Now, let me read that again and let it settle in. And if you think, if you're confused like I was back when I was a young man, I began the quest to solve the mystery of the Godhead. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was and preached unto the world. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached to the lost tribes, believed on by them, and God was received up in the glory. Now, the Catholic Church says we don't confuse the persons. No, we don't divide the substance. For there is a person of the Father, another person of the Son, and another person of the Holy Ghost. Three persons. But we don't confuse those by dividing the substance. Now, I don't know what that word substance means, but you figure it out because it's a great mystery. But the Godhead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is one. Their glory equal, their majesty co-eternal. Now, these are some elaborate segments adopted at the Council of Nice in 325 A.D. And this has been the Catholic creed, if you will, before that long. Such as the Father is, such as the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father, uncreated. Listen to this now. The Son, uncreated. The Holy Ghost, uncreated. The Father, infinite. The Son, infinite. The Holy Ghost, infinite. The Father, eternal. The Son, eternal. The Holy Ghost, eternal. And yet, there are not three eternals. You might think there's a little bit confused here. But one eternal. As also, there are not three uncreated, nor three infinite, but one infinite and one uncreated. So likewise, the Father is Almighty, the Son Almighty, the Holy Ghost Almighty. Now, these are the things that they give the Catholic Church when you ask them about the Trinity to give an answer. These are the things that they would select from. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. The Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Ghost is Lord. Three lords. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian verily, it's to confess each of the persons by himself to be both God and I, or Lord. We are forbidden by the Catholic religion to speak of three gods or three lords. The Father is none, nor made, nor created, nor begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father, and the Son, not made, not created, not begotten, but proceeding. I hope you're about as confused as I am here. There is therefore one Father, not three fathers. One Son, not three sons. One Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. Now, how would you like to teach this to a child? In the Trinity, none is before or after. None is greater or less. But all three persons are co-eternal, one with another, and co-equal. So that in all ways, as is aforesaid, both the Trinity is to be worshipped as a unity, and the unity as a Trinity. Let him, therefore, that would be saved, to think thus upon the Trinity. Now, that is what they have given you of the Trinity. Now, let me give you a little history of the Trinity. We're going to prove to you tonight that there's one God. One. Well, the Catholic Church would believe that. But if you leave it there, if you want to get involved in it and ask them to explain how the Son came into being, you know, they're going to give you these 27 reasons that I just read to you. That's their preset mold of answering. In the book, The Two Babylons, Alexander Hislop traces most of the practices and teaching of the Catholic Church to paganism. He attacks the Catholic Church pretty severe. He proves that the powerful worship to be in its origin the worship of Nimrod and his wife Semiramis in Genesis chapter 10. He mentions many facts to enable breeders to continue their own investigation and suggest that you do so. Survive is here to say that in comparing Catholicism and judged by the same merits, Protestantism is hardly removed from Catholicism. With ancient Babylonian paganism, Mr. Hyssop uses as his very first subject, guess what? That of the Trinity and Unity. Quoting from various authoritative sources, it appears that the ideal of a Trinity is long ancient. In the unity of that one only God of the Babylonians, there were three persons. They employed the equilateral triangle. Just as it was well known that the Romish Church claims the very same thing today. You can find that on page 16 of the Two Babylons if you have a copy. If you don't, I suggest you get a copy of the Two Babylons. The papacy has in the monastery of the Trinitarians of Madrid, an image of the triune God with three heads on one body. Now explain that to a child. He shows it clearly on page 17 when he goes to the monastery in Madrid and produces a picture that they've got hanging out of the triune God with three heads on one body. The recognition of a Trinity was universal in all of the ancient nations of the world taught by the ancient pagan religions. Similar, the three-headed gods are found, of course, in India's ancient supreme divinity and throughout Japan with the Buddhas and the Hindus. If there is one subject that stands out in the Old Testament, it's the divine abhorrence of these pagan idols of three gods. Yahweh did never liken himself unto any pagan abomination. With the Messiah entering into the stage of history, unrepentant men, unable to fathom the spiritual mystery, now really became confused and had every reason to resort to ancestral pagan ideals. Arising from this conclusion, they formed the basis of their belief in a unity of a Trinity. Arising from this confusion, we now find that the first three centuries was replete with great controversies regarding the Messiah's identity. We had several debating groups amidst of this. Bishop of Alexandria appears in 293 and 373 to spend most of his life opposing the Aaron controversy. You'll find that in the Encyclopedia of Religion in Hastings, Volume 2, page 168. The result was a creed to define a mystery trinity, and it adhered by most of the churches to this very day as they use this template as an answer to explain God. The most tragic part of this great misconception of a trinity, and there's ever reason to ask that question if you ever ask it in your lifetime. Where is your Father? The Jews repeatedly ask to see the Father. Christ repeatedly told them that when they saw Him, they saw the Father. was the Father, the Spirit. That's not two, that's only one. God is the Spirit. So, God is the Father. And God overshadowed the little virgin. And she became pregnant with the Son of Man. And the offspring declared himself in more ways than one to be the Almighty Creator God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Satan trying to follow or get man to go back and base his belief on this ancient pagan rendering of a triune deity. It does untold harm to the greatest truth of understanding. Your child can understand that God, the Creator, became a man. He has that power and that ability, and the Bible says he did. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, if he didn't pre-exist, how could the Son take credit for creating the whole world? If the Son didn't exist in a flesh body, how is it in the book of Exodus that he showed his body to Moses? He showed him his hinder parts. He said, "Now you can see my face and live because of the power of the greatness," just like when the Messiah was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. There was a great light, and there was a voice. Everybody said it was the Father's voice that spoke, not out of heaven, but it spoke out of the cloud. Now, what did the voice that was in the cloud that overshadowed the Messiah, the body of flesh, who was in the world and the world being made by him, the Word flesh was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now the Word was with him in the very beginning. And he became manifest. When the voice spoke out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son." Now, if he would have said, "Of whom I'm well pleased," it would have stood reason that a Trinity substance would have to be explained. But he didn't say that. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So the Father was in the Son. The Father being a spirit, the Son being the flesh, and the wisdom of the Father spoke in parables. And it became a doctrine of confusion when those who tried without understanding this sacredness of the divine mystery, for great is the mystery, if you believe that there's one God, you believe well, for the devil believes in trembles. Now, wouldn't it be proper for Satan, because he knows who Yahweh is, he trembles, but would it not be to his advantage to deceive through a Trinitarian pagan concept the Trinity of the nature of God and make it to be some great mystery and teach it that There are three of them, but they're all one. They can't be divided. They're of the same substance, yet they got three different substances. They just bounce from one Trinitarian lie to the other. Now, if you've ever wondered where the Father was, think about this. The Father was not on the throne. The Father was not out on a vacation. The Father, who sent that flesh part into the world, was not absent from that flesh, for God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. There he is. So hidden behind the flesh man, now remember this, the flesh profits nothing, and the Son never gave any credit to the flesh. He said, the Father that dwells in me, not of me, in me. Not of me, but in me. Not around me or up above me, but in me. So those who would teach, like myself emphatically, that the Messiah was truly God and truly man. You say, well, Pastor Ray, God can't die. And say he did. Well, what did he do? Well, the Bible says that there were three things in that body. For there are three things that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Eternal Spirit. Now, let's look at that. The Father is God, if we use that word widely. The Word is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. That don't make three gods. That means that God, the Father, the Spirit, overshadowed Miriam, and she conceived in her womb and bare a son that belonged to Yahweh. Now, the problem is here that the son was not alone. Everybody said, well, God turned his back on him. He left him alone. There were three things that left that body upon the torture stake when he was being killed. Now, let's just suppose for a moment that he had never said that they would kill him, they would harm him, they would hang him on a torture stake and do all kinds of mean things to him. Let's just say he never said that, and he decided that they couldn't kill him. Do you believe that there was enough people on earth to kill him if he didn't want to be killed? Do you believe when the army, the soldiers, came with Judas, the betrayer, and when they had to ask which one was the one they wanted to arrest and imprison, when they called his name, he said, here I am. And they all fell to the ground. Now, let's just suppose that when they fell to the ground, if he hadn't wanted them to get up and arrest him, you think they could have? I don't think so. They could have sent 10 million, 20 million. They could have sent 7 billion people after him. And if he wasn't willing to die, he wouldn't have died. Did you know that the Messiah was never called Jesus during his lifetime upon earth? Did you know that the Messiah was the eternal Most High? There's no one above him. There's no one beside him. He's above all. And by him, all things consist. He's the firstborn upon the dead. He is Alpha Omega, according to Isaiah 40 before. He's the beginning and he's the end. first and the last. Revelations 1:17, John saw him and fell at his feet as dead, and he said, "Behold, I am the first and the last. Beside me there is no God." Now that same spirit went and preached to the souls that was disobedient, even in the days of Noah. They were in a holding place that he might become the God of the living and the dead. Not only the living, but the dead and the living. He revealed his true identity to John, the Revelator, the Baptist, and to his followers. And so then we know that the Trinity is a pagan symbol picked up by those who could not explain at the council. The people that could explain it were the oneness, those who believed in one God, that the Son was God made flesh, and he dwelled in the Son. For your Father. Why, you've been so long with me, Philip, and you don't know me. When you see me, you see the Father. Well, the Catholic would say, see, he was saying that he was the Father, but he's not the Father. And they would give you some highly controversial reasoning, and then it would become a contest, hotly debated. There is staggering proof of the pagan origin of the teaching of the Trinity. And there is a correct interpretation of a very few direct references in the Bible to a mysterious identity of the Antichrist, which will expose the many popular misconceptions on the subject of the Godhead. Only you who can seek and search and find when the Messiah said, "No one understands who the Father is but me. No one understands who the Son is but my Father." And until I reveal to you through the acknowledgement of the true identity of the Messiah, this is the only thing that will protect you from the Antichrist. This truth is very clear, and it distinguishes the true way to eternal life, countering the counterfeit way to eternal doom, which many will follow this way, taking on this false name that was never called Jesus, and the one that they created to be called Jesus is the name that was set in naught of the builders. It's his name changed by Bible translators to Jesus Christ, according to Matthew 1:21, which it says in its interpretation from Isaiah 7:14, that this prophecy of the one that's going to come, the only true God, when he comes, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God, Yahweh, with us. Now, what's so hard about that? In Isaiah 45:21, he's the one that created the heavens and the earth and came into the world, and the world knew him not. He's a coming judge of mankind, and at his return, in Matthew 25:31, he's going to sit on the throne, he alone, with all of his angels. Who is that? that's one third of the Godhead.
No, it's not.
That's the fullness of the Godhead. The Messiah, the one you call Christ Jesus, is the fullness of the Godhead. He was God manifest in a flesh body. He is not a triune being, nor is he a compound unity. He's one. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. He's the human Messiah that was set at naught. He was the one that was prophesied through the prophets that would come and save Israel. But he was rejected in favor of a Greek-Latin god named Jesus. Now, Yahweh knows no other Savior. You may know Jesus, but he don't know him. He never was called Jesus. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, if you're going to be saved, what name would you want to be baptized in? You've got Jesus. You've got Yeshua. You've got Lord. You've got God. You've got Savior. Or you've got Yahweh. Which name has salvation? The salvation is in Yahweh. There's none other name. You may try to create one, just like some of the Yahweh people do. They have to create them a name to explain the Son. They don't want to go in, you know, into the trouble of having to explain it. But it's still a true saying, and Yahweh is the first, and Yahweh is the last, and beside him there is no God. How are you going to fall into the hands of the living God until you know him? He's not going to run you down and tackle you. You must pursue him. Those that run from him, he will flee from. If you find him and search for him with all of your heart, you're going to find him. Because he's hid from the world. There is astounding biblical proof, and I'm willing to debate this with anybody on the planet. Not because I want to show you up or them up, but that I may give you the true knowledge about who the Father is. You need the revelation of the true God. He's only coming after a people that's kept the faith. He's not a lesser degree of deity. When he walked the water, he walked it as God Almighty. When he was hungry, he was just a normal man. He was both man and God. Now listen to this scripture in St. John chapter 10, verse 30. When Christ was being questioned by these unbelieving Pharisees who claimed they knowed God, but Christ rebuked them. He said, if you'd have known my Father, you'd have known me. So how can you classify the Messiah as a lesser God? Remember that he had the finger of God, according to Luke 11:20. He cast out devils with the finger of God. In St. John 10:28, he said, nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And of course, they started looking around for the Father, you know, hunting for him. When it was the Father, the Spirit, the Eternal One, inside the body, camouflaged, they couldn't see him, they couldn't understand his parables of his speech. Said, nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then he turned around and he said opposite. He's not describing some freak, three-headed God here. He's describing himself with two hands and two feet and two eyes, just like you were when you came in, for he had a body like your body. Then he said, nobody can pluck them out of my hand. It's a hand. In either case, it was singular. Nobody can pluck them out of the Father's hand. This is John 10:28. And nobody can pluck them out of my hand. Then, in the 30th verse, he really whooped them up real good. Man, he sent their carnal minds into Wobbleville. They staggered at the thought. You, as they picked up rocks to stone him again. Oh, they threw rocks at him several times. And he said, well, I've showed you many good works from the Spirit or the Father that dwells in me. For which of these works are you stoned? Oh, well, for a good work we don't stone you. But for being a man that maketh thyself God. Have you ever been stoned for declaring to this unbelieving world that Yahweh came into the world in a flesh body and the world knew him not? That he was the eternal, the Spirit, that created everything. And in the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, he showed himself to Moses. Moses said, I ain't going no further. This is it. You spoke to me, the earth trembles, the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls, the people are scared to death. I'm not going no further till I see you. Now listen, he'd been up in the chariot for quite some time, communicating with this being he couldn't see. All he heard was a voice. Yahweh thought about that a minute. He said, you've asked me a real hard thing here, brother. But nevertheless, if you'll go over here on this mountain ridge and you get into this deep crevice here in this rock, and turn your back to me, then I'll let you see my hinder parts. Yahweh took Moses over to the crevice, placed him in the crevice, facing the rock, looking away from where Yahweh stood, and Yahweh turned around and told Moses, he said, all right, Moses, you can look at my hinder parts. Now, don't tell me that this wasn't a substance. Don't tell me that Yahweh is not capable of creating a body of flesh from the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Bible says that the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. Now, if the Word dwelt among us, who was that? Who was that that Moses saw the hinder parts of? He even prophesied about this man. He said, there is coming a man like unto myself. You better obey his voice, because Yahweh's name is in him. Now, my question to you tonight, was his name Jesus? Did he tell Moses that this name, this being that was named before he was ever born through a woman, did he tell that angel to call him Jesus as it's revealed in Matthew 1:21? I don't think so. He said, oh, buddy, you're saying that the Bible's wrong. You know Jesus loves us. Ladies and gentlemen, we have believed a lie. And the Catholic Church, who has organized this great lie, kept the Bible in the New Testament. Jesus is never mentioned in the Old Testament. Moses wrote of him, but he never wrote of a Jesus. He kept revealing Yahweh. In that day, Yahweh shall come. Ezekiel Ezekiah. He wrote of Yahweh coming as the pastor and the shepherd of the sheep. All of the prophets, from the least to the greatest, prophesied of the great mystery that would come and unwrap himself through a flesh body, call himself the Son of Man, which he was because he was born of a woman. He was God because he was born of God. He done the works of both man and God. He cried when he was hungry, or sad, or lonely. When he come to a dead body that he didn't want to see dead, he would bring life back into that body, and the dead would stand up and talk and speak. Even Lazarus dead 3 days, and the Jews acknowledged his body would be stinking. He raised him up, and everything was fine. We're talking about someone that we ought to give allegiance. We owe him, and he demands it. If you know not who I am, you shall die in your sins, he said. Can you see that Yahweh revealed himself as a man, walked here 33 years in a disguised flesh body, died on the torture stake and suffered the agony and the pain, got out of that body, went and preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah, came back to that body that the angels were guarding, raised it up, and got back in that body, and he said, behold, I in my Father, and the Father in me. Can you understand that? That he went back to heaven, he sat down, conquering death, hell, and the grave. He's coming back with all, not a few, he's coming back with all of his holy angels with him, taking vengeance upon them that know him not. Those that refuse the code of how to get your sins remitted. You can't go to heaven with your sins. If you refuse to get baptized in this holy name, it's the name of the Father. Matthew 28:19. It's the name of the Son. And it's the name of the Holy Ghost. He told them, he said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Well, the Catholics thought they had that all figured out. So they started baptizing, saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and everybody in the Catholic Church that's baptized that way, everybody in the Protestant Church that followed that mode of baptism, have been deceived. Father is not a name, the Son is not a name, and Holy Ghost is not a name. These are titles. He wanted you to go down in that name. Now, if you go down in the name of Jesus, the world rejoices. They won't bother you. If you go down in the name of Lord, Father, the Son, Holy Ghost, the world will admire you, never question you. You go down in the only name given under heaven whereby you can be saved, the name of Yahweh. You're breaking tradition of the Catholic Church. You're going against their doctrine of Trinitarianism. You're going against the Protestant outreach who adopted the creed of the Catholics. And those that baptized in the name of Jesus, thinking they've got the mystery figured out in Acts 2:38, are just jumping in the frying pan. If the Catholics don't get you deceived up front with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they get you in Jesus' name. They give you two false ways to go down into the water. Both of them wrong. Both of them non-scriptural. And both of them very deceiving. And the Bible said they would deceive the very elect. I hope you can see this tonight. I hope that Yahweh has chosen you from the foundation of the world, that when the truth is preached, that you will have a spirit to understand it and see it. That at the name of Yahweh, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Now, we know that every knee is not going to bow. In one scripture, it said, every knee should. And one, it said, every knee shall. Don't worry. You may not bow to his true name and take it on in water baptism. Now, but you will bow the knee and confess that you've been deceived, you've been led astray, and you've become a goat instead of a sheep. My sheep, not my goats. He said, I'll pop to you and you won't dance. He was speaking to his people that would not have it. They'd rather buddy up with the Catholic Church. They'd rather stay in the Protestant movement, the church of their choice. See, devil don't care. Go to the church of choice, whatever you are, be a good Billy Graham doctrine. I say, if you don't get baptized in the name of Yahweh, you're going to hell. Flat out. Because when you stand before him and you confess all these things that you're going to confess, and you're going to confess them, you're going to say, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name, Jesus, Lord, God, Jesus, Jesus, Yahshua? What's he going to say? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life and you don't have any. In that day, many will bow the knee and confess that they've been deceived and their punishment is worthy. Because they won't listen to a preacher who Yahweh chose before the foundation of the world. He said, I won't reveal nothing to the people till I first reveal it to the prophets. What I'm revealing tonight goes against the Catholic Church. Goes against all Protestant branches of those who hate the whore and come out from her. And thinking they got the truth in a sure grip. Deceiving them own selves. Because they adopted the name that the whore that came out with in the New Testament, kept it under lock for over 1,500 years, and by the time the New Testament was written to give people a copy so they could start searching it, the damage had already been done. A lie had already been perpetrated. The conspiracy had already hatched out to deceive the very elect. I will send them a strong delusion. To be destroyed. If this gospel is hid, is hid to him that is deceived to be destroyed. Can you save yourself right now if you hear the gospel? Yes, you can. Whosoever will call upon the name of Yahweh, not the name of the Lord. There's many lords. You know that. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash them and make them white as snow in the truth of the name. It's the truth of the name that he come and revealed. They cast that name out. Away with that name. Give us Barabbas a robber. They didn't want to see his face no more. Certainly didn't want to see his body that they beat and mangled. He still bears the wounds, the cuts from the cat of nine tails, the wounding and the scars in his head with the deep driven thorns into his skull. excruciating pain where they lifted the flesh off of his back that you could number his ribs. Oh, yeah, they hated him for who he said he was. They said, don't say he's Yahweh. You say, well, it said, don't say he's Jesus. I want to ask you a question. If Herod and Pilate, the two men in charge of this life, they had power to let him go or power to kill him. Pilate decided to let him go. Herod said, not so, we're going to kill him. Give him to us. He said, well, I've washed my hands, I'm clean. Well, let his blood be upon us and our children, he said. Rightfully so, that blood of them Edomites, Canaanites, who call themselves Jews and are not, will bear the brunt of the persecution and the destruction because they knew not the time of his visitation. This name was a holy name. This name was spoken approximately 7,000 times in the Old Testament. It's changed in the Old Testament now to Lord or God. Everywhere you see, count the letters L-O-R-D, it should be Y-H-W-H, and don't let nobody try to give you a substitute. It's in the Hebrew Bible, written before you were ever born, declared in the mountains with his own finger, which again in Luke 11:20, Yahweh's finger was on that flesh body. He said, if I, this is the Messiah talking now. Remember, he said, nobody's going to pluck them out of my hand or my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Took one body to make two hands. The Father's hand and the Son's hand. He said, if I, with the finger of God, Luke 11:20, I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, then no doubt the kingdom of heaven has come unto you. Don't let this escape. Don't let it slip. Don't let it pass by. For today is the day of salvation. Stand still. Decide tonight. Write me a letter. Why don't you write me for a free tract? Many of you have already written me. Be patient with Pastor Buddy now. Don't get upset if I don't immediately answer your letter. I will answer it. I'm a little bit behind on the mail. I've been involved in some of the other projects. We've got a building project going on. We've got to get it finished by May on the full moon. It needs to be finished. We're a long way from finishing it. We need a septic system, we need a roof, we need flooring, we need a lot of things. We need $10,000 just to get those three things done. I need your help. If I preached you the truth tonight and you believe it's the truth, write for my free tract, Hallelujah. It's the shortened poetic form of the great name that was put in the scriptures. Left in there, and Christians say it all over the world, Hallelujah. They don't know that they're praising the great I Am, the Father. The great I Am, the Son. And the great I Am, the Holy Ghost. Write me for this free information. I'll send it to you. And I might even send a copy of tonight's message. Brother Bob's recorded out in the great state of Arkansas. Our website, if you would like to go to it, we're working on a brand new one. We're getting a little behind on the messages. Please bear with me, because I'm having some technical difficulties getting up to speed where Bob's already at. He's already posting the messages into my box through an electronic mail delivery system. I'm not able to perfect it right now. We're trying to work on it, probably maybe get it done sometime tomorrow. But go to oneyahweh.com, oneyahweh.com, oneyahweh.com. You'll find our website. You'll find all kinds of messages on this subject up there, the oneness and the Trinity, and we just got thousands and thousands of hours of messages. We got many articles for your listening pleasure, and I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary down in the great state of Mississippi. I'd like for you to call him tonight and tell him you heard Pastor Buddy. 1-877-289-7439. Call Doc and tell him that I sent you. If you would like to call me tonight, I'm live at area code 423-351-1082. My email is kingsgatein@yahoo.com. King, Lord, letters, lowercase. Kingsgatein, all one word, @yahoo.com. Well, I got to get off here. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRB, where we'll continue our great series of 20 and 12. You don't want to miss it. I love you tonight. And tomorrow night, maybe you could tune in to WWBR on a new frequency. That new frequency, if you can't get 50-50, try 2390. And that might make you able. We're to that. We're on WWCR 4840. So we appreciate you. Spread the word. Tell a neighbor about our program. We're on here to save your soul. If we've got any saving power, if the word will save you, we hope that we've got it. We walk by faith that the Father has called us into this ministry to be hated and despised for glorifying his name. We will see you tomorrow night at 9 o'clock around the world on frequency 2.390. If you can't get 50-50, try 2.390 or 2390. Maybe you can pull us in. We'll get off here tonight. Again, Dr. Gary's number, 877-289-7439. Give us a call. We'd like to talk to you. Dr. Gary knows this doctrine as good as I do, and he'd be glad to talk to you. Just call him up and tell him you heard Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call live around the world on WWCR. See you tomorrow night on WWRB. Yahweh bless you.